The reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 17. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Royal processions. Have you ever seen one live? Have you ever been there? Rose has. Well done, Rose. Have you ever met a member of the royal family? Been in the crowd when the royal procession went by? What was the atmosphere like? Was it worth the wait? Did somebody say no? We were fortunate. You couldn't exactly call it a royal procession, but some years ago we were on holiday and we were in quite a small town, and there was quite a small crowd gathered. And we said, "What's going on?" And they said, "The Queen is coming through." So we waited 5 minutes, and because it was such a small crowd, we had a very good view, and we got a picture of the Queen going past in her car. So it's not exactly a royal procession, but we have seen the Queen, and we have been in a very small crowd. But I'm sure even if we haven't seen a royal procession live, we've all watched royal weddings, royal funerals, and we've even this time had a chance to watch a coronation. I don't know if any of you saw two coronations. Yeah, some of you saw two coronations. It was probably a bit clearer this time on the television than the first time. All these events, particularly the weddings and funerals and coronations, are planned many years in advance with no idea when they will actually take place. I don't know if you've heard of Operation Unicorn. Operation Unicorn were the plans put together for Elizabeth II's funeral in the eventuality that she passed away in Scotland. And these plans were made years and years and years before, even though obviously they didn't know, one, when she was going to die, and two, if she was going to die in Scotland. She did die in Scotland. And in the event, 250,000 people queued to pay their respects, 3,000 military and 10,000 police were in London when her coffin came through the streets. Operation Golden Orb. Plans made many years in advance for the unknown date of Charles III's coronation. Everything planned out, but not knowing when it would take place. One of the strangest royal processions that I ever saw and ever read about took place 10 years ago yesterday. Maybe some of you will remember it. Thousands of people gathered to greet a 33-year-old king with white roses and queued to see his coffin as he was laid to rest 500 years after his death. Richard III was given a great welcome, even though he was dead. Remember that? He is a king who generates different opinions. I remember doing Richard III in school for O-level English. Anybody do Richard III for O-level English in school? No, apparently his mother called him a foul, abortive, rooting, hunchbacked hog, according to Shakespeare. With a mother like that, who needs enemies? He is a king who was given different opinions. Was he handsome? Was he ugly? Was he really truly deformed? Or did he just have a slightly crooked back? Was he kind? Was he murderous? Did he really put the princes in the tower and get them disposed of because he wanted the power? Was he evil? Or if you read his prayer book and his notes written beside the prayers, was he godly? And did he really say, a horse, my kingdom for a horse? We will probably never know. And in some ways, does it matter? But today, we celebrate the arrival of a 33-year-old king into Jerusalem. And this king still generates different reactions. Like the royal events that we've talked about, this arrival was planned many years before it happened. In fact, it was planned in eternity. But unlike other royal events, and particularly funerals and weddings, the timing of this event was known and planned to the last detail, to the exact date and time. This king's arrival was prophesied way back in Genesis, foretold many times in the Old Testament. Isaiah in chapter 7 describes his virgin birth. In chapter 9 he describes his character. Micah foretold his birth in Bethlehem. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 portray his suffering. And Zechariah 9 verse 9 describes this entry into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus' arrival and into Jerusalem and his death were not an unplanned, unfortunate event, but God's great plan to save us. In chapter 20 of Matthew, Jesus says this to his disciples, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will rise again." And this is the third time at least that he has told them this. This is not something that just happened. This is God's great plan of salvation. And on this day, Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew about the village. He knew about the donkey. He knew about the time. Why did Jesus come into Jerusalem now? Because it was nearly time for the Passover. And what happened at that first Passover? The lamb was slain, the blood was put on the doorpost so that the people who believed would be safe. And John says to us, John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Peter describes Jesus as our Passover lamb. And so it wasn't just any old weekend that Jesus came into Jerusalem. It was this particular week, because he was the Passover lamb who was going to sacrifice himself for you and for me. So he knew about the village, he knew about the donkey, he knew about the time. He knew about the cross. Only a week later. But he knew about the resurrection too. Jesus didn't ask for a horse, but a donkey, because he came in peace. He didn't try to gain power in battle or in putting his enemies into a tower and disposing of them. He came into the city to die because of his love. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, not a car park, or a tomb in a church. He only needed it for a couple of days. And he rose again to live forever. On that day, the crowds welcomed him. They waved palm branches and put cloaks on the ground, showing that he was the king who was to come. And they shout, praise God. They shout, bless David's son. They shout, Hosanna, which meant save now. We use Hosanna as a praise term. But save now. King, as you come in, David's son, as you come in, we want you to save us now. Save us from the Romans and their authority and their tyranny. Save now. They expected a mighty deliverer. But he came in peace and he came in compassion. In Matthew chapter 23, we read these words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. And then in Luke's Gospel, we read these words. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jesus rides into Jerusalem in love and sadness and compassion. Not long after, though, as we read in our reading, he shows his stern side as he cleansed the temple of the illegal money changers and those who would try to make money out of people sacrificing to God. As Jesus rode into the city, the people had different reactions and emotions. And if you read all four versions of this event, because there is one in every gospel, so I suggest that perhaps you go home and read all four. Because although they're the same, they're different. Different reactions and emotions. There's excitement. If you've been in a crowd, whether it's for a royal procession or a football match or whatever it might be, you know there's always excitement, isn't there? What's going to happen? Who's coming? They were really excited. And of course, if you remember, there are probably about 1 million people, because they've all gathered together to celebrate Passover. There's expectation. He's the one who's coming in the name of the Lord. He's David's royal son. He's the one that's going to save us. There's anger. Who does he think he is? Shut him up. Shut his followers up. Fear and hatred and a desire to get rid of him. Different emotions. And then we're told that some asked the most important question. They said, who's this? Who is this man? Who is this one that is coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey with all these people following him and shouting him, who is he? Not long before, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they'd come up with all sorts of answers, like Elijah or a prophet, or, well, we're not really sure. What did the people say this time? He's the prophet. He tells us about God. He's the king. We fear him. We hate him. We want him dead because he's a blasphemer, not the son of God. But the most important question is the one that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say that I am? If I was to come round and ask you this morning, which I won't, because there's too many of you, who do you say Jesus is? Who is this man riding on the donkey into Jerusalem to die? Who is he? A good man who did good things and was nice to people, by and large. A man who got cross with people who were hypocrites. Well, that's good. A good teacher until he started saying things that we didn't like. And important. And he lived 2,000 years ago and he's dead and gone. Someone that you'd quite like to have a talk with because he sounds like an interesting person. Is he your saviour? Is he your king? Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing full well what was going to happen. We read earlier in the Gospels that he set his face as a flint. He was determined that he was going to go into Jerusalem, that he was going to be arrested, he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be let down, he was going to be abandoned, he was going to go through a false and fake trial, he was going to be beaten, he was going to be nailed to the cross, he was going to take our sins in his body, he was going to be separated from his Father, and he was going to die. Palm Sunday. He knew, and he carried on. He was the humble king who gave his life that we might live. But one day he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Not on a donkey, not quiet. What is our response to Jesus? Will you say, like some of the people later on, we will not have this man to rule over us? I don't want Jesus in my life. I can do without him. Or will you accept him as saviour? Will you ask him, excuse me, to be your Lord? And will you allow him to be your king? You see how, excuse me. How we respond to who Jesus is will affect our lives now and in eternity. If you don't believe you need a saviour, you won't ask for one. But Jesus is the saviour who came to die for you and for me. Come to the humble, loving King. And on this Palm Sunday, thank him that he entered Jerusalem to die for you, so that you can know forgiveness, hope, peace, and eternal life. Unlike all earthly kings, he has no grave, because he is alive. He is there in heaven, waiting for us to trust in him, and one day to welcome us home. Will we ever know the truth about Richard III? I don't know. You can decide. You can read Shakespeare, you can read the history. But we do know the truth about Jesus. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Let's thank God for this Palm Sunday. A day of triumph, yes. But that beginning of what we call this Holy Week, when our Saviour gave his life for you and for me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you rode into Jerusalem humbly on a donkey. The crowds cheered and expected perhaps so many different things, but you knew exactly what was going to happen. You knew that only a week later you would be on the cross, dying for me, dying for each one of us, dying for the whole world. And so as we go into this Holy Week, we pray that we will continually think about who you are and what you have done for us. And if perhaps for the first time today you have seen who Jesus is, the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, you may want to pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that on that first Palm Sunday, you rode into Jerusalem to die for me. Thank you that you went to the cross, that you took my sin. Thank you that you rose again, and now you live forever, and I want you to be my Saviour, my Lord, and my King. I'm sorry for the wrong things that I have done. And thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you will accept me into your family and into your kingdom. And I will become your child. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help each one of us to go from here with the knowledge that you are our Saviour, our Lord and our King. And that you will go with us because you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. During this week, help us to keep on remembering how much you love us. And if we're going through tough times, help us remember that you understand because you've been through them too. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you today and always. Amen. Amen. Should we bless each other with the words of the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.